Welcome to worship this morning. It's nice to see you all. A especially warm welcome to those who are maybe visiting for the first time, or you've been away for a wee while. Welcome back. And it's good to see the rest of you, especially the kids again. What a joy. Nice to see you. Just apart from the intimations, I've one notice about David and Leslie Balfour. Their funeral is to take place in the church here on Wednesday, the 6th of September. The Leslie service will be in here at 9 o'clock, and then the crematorium for the committal of both Leslie and David at 10:30 in the Dundee crematorium. So that's Wednesday, the 6th of September. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. Joined by the spirit part of the body, the church of Christ. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. Let's worship God. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 436, hymn 436, Christ triumphant, ever reigning. Let us love one another because the source of love is God. Let us pray. Lord of all, in reverence and humility, in awe and wonder, we come to worship you. We step aside from the busy nature of our lives, a few moments away from our daily activities and humdrum concerns, an opportunity to bring them quietly and prayerfully before you and to place them into your hands. Meet with us now. Be with us always. We bring ourselves, our strengths and our weaknesses, our faith and our doubts, our hopes and our fears. We bring our families, our friends, our neighbours, those we love, those we know, and those we simply meet in passing. Be with us now, be with us always. We bring our community, our country, our nation, and our world, places near and far, integral to our lives, or far removed from our experience. In quiet confidence, we entrust all to your care, knowing your love is more powerful and your power more loving than we can ever know or imagine. Meet with us now, be with us always. Lord of all, we come to worship you, bringing ourselves, bringing our loved ones, bringing our all. Meet with us now. Be with us as we say together the family prayer of the church, taught to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, boys and girls, come, are you coming out? Are you feel you're safe there? Good. I know there's one or two slightly older ones, but I'll pick on you in a minute. Oh, yes, I see them. Right, actually, I'm going to get you to stand up a second or two. We've got a few faces I'd like you to have a look at and see if you recognise any of them. Okay? Famous people, and a friend from CBBC. Anybody watch CBBC? Oh, good, we're on a winner here. You do it. There's always an adult. I'm pleased about that. Thanks, Diane. Always willing. Right, we'll go for the first one. No, we don't watch CBBS. We know who that is, yes. Okay. You look quite excited about this. Right, it's...
Hey, doggy.
No, moving up. Are you just speaking? I was trying to go along. We'll try it as a kind of Mexican wave, okay? Are we ready?
Hey, doggy.
Ah, yes, we got it. Well done. Okay. Who's hey, doggy? What is... Is on the square, right? Okay. Yep.
He's a dog.
Yeah. I'll give you that one. Okay. Right. Next one's maybe not quite as... I thought you would get this one. Do you get this? I thought you might. It's the boys in the middle. I'm a wee bit... gentlemen, we've been to see the film, have we? No? Yes? You haven't seen the film, but you know who it is. Right, okay. It's Barbie. Yes. Who have seen the film? Any good? Is it worth going to see? You liked it.
I didn't love it.
You didn't love it. Okay, right. So, kind of halfy. Okay, all right. Yes, it's actually an Australian actress called Margot Robbie. Sorry?
I do. Barbie because she has pink.
I know it's bad because she's got pink. Yes. Pink being a totally unknown colour in girls.
Yeah.
I know, all right. Okay. Barbie, we know it because it's a doll. Although this is the film, isn't it? Right, next one.
I have no idea.
There are several clues there. Oh, wait. I didn't know. Well, you know what's coming next then, after this one. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Two boys know him.
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran? I've got it. Edward Christopher Sheeran, MBE. Now, what does he do for a living? How's he famous? Any ideas?
He writes songs.
He writes great songs, doesn't he? He sings them as well, yes. So he's well known. Cracking hairstyle. Okay, right, who's next? Yeah, there's a wee clue, because if you look carefully, I mean, the first time I saw it, I thought, why is she wearing her jammies? But it actually matches the book, and her name's actually on the front of the cover of the book, I just noticed.
Greta Thunberg.
What's she famous for?
She's a climate activist,
yes. And went on strike, didn't go to school on Friday afternoons. What a great idea. Greta Thunberg, she's well known for as a climate activist, yes. Very well known. Right, who's next? Oh, dearie me, who's that? Do you?
I definitely know.
All right, hands down, hands down. Anybody who doesn't know who it is, you're not counted. You don't know?
I know.
He's sitting there, he's got a fabulous uniform on, and with all the badges and the blue.
Everyone knows who this guy is.
Everybody knows who this guy is.
He's...
All right, I'll count to three, give you his name. One, two, three, it's...
King Charles. Of course it's King Charles.
Of course. Why is it?
He's a king.
He's a king. Is that what he does for a living? He's just a king.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give it with that. Right. Now, I've got two slides left. Okay. The last one, this is church. It's Sunday. You know who's going to be on the last slide. Okay. But I Googled famous people in the world. And guess who came up second, the second most famous person in the world, or ever? Any thoughts?
No idea.
No idea. Oh, right, we're struggling here then. Any thoughts about who could be the second most famous person in the world?
Is it Jesus?
No, he's the last slide. I tried to give that away. He's the last slide. But you're close. Yeah, because he's the famous one. Yeah, of course he is. Any thoughts? Congregation, choir? Who would come up as the second most famous person in history? No? Well, this got me as well. Could we have the second last slide? Napoleon. Napoleon. Did anybody know him? You recognised him? Right. There's a couple of clues. Why is he famous?
He was the king of France.
He was an emperor. He was the king of France. Emperor, yes. And you can tell by the country. And he was a soldier and all kinds of things. Yeah, he was a ruler.
I know he fought because there's a picture.
There's a picture of him on the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had tremendous battles he fought.
He
wasn't the first one. No, we're coming to that in a second.
Oh,
right. Okay, so the last one, you can guess. Can we have the last slide? Who could that possibly be? We've already heard
the
answer.
I know it.
You know it. We've answered. Jesus. Who do you think the folk are beside him? It's not an actual photograph, it's someone posing. Yes?
Is it his disciples?
Well done. It's his disciples. And as Jesus was walking with his disciples, he said to them, "Who am I?" And Peter, his great pal and his chief disciple, if you like, said, "You're the Son of God. You are the greatest thing ever. King of kings and Lord of lords and Prince of princes and all the rest. Wonderful, have all these titles to be incredibly famous, but he's also something else. He's a friend and a helper to you and to me. So it doesn't matter. That's the most famous person who's ever, ever, ever lived. And he's your friend and he's your helper. So remember that. Never mind all the rest I've gone before. Remember Jesus. He's a helper. You can ask him for his help. All right? Let's just say a wee prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for sending Jesus to be a friend, to be a helper, a guide to us, and that he became famous. Just ask that he becomes even better known to folk who don't know him yet. This we ask in your name. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 448, Lord, the light of your life is shining.
Reading from the Old Testament today is from Isaiah chapter 51 and verses 1 to 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, and you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion, and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look to the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. And now we go to the New Testament, and it's the Gospel of St. Matthew, and it's chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And thanks be for this loving word, Father God.
Thank you, Linda. The next hymn is hymn 456, "Christ is the World's True Light," hymn 456.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have taught us that without love, all our doings are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus had a problem. He knew that the end was near. He also knew that his disciples were not yet ready to cope on their own. Yes, he was still preaching to large crowds. Yes, he was still healing the sick. However, he was coming under increasingly heavy pressure from the religious authorities, particularly the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, these two groups had long seen themselves as quite different, even superior to the other. The undeniable truth was that they had much more in common than they had differences. Sadly, a situation which is all too common when it comes to the church or even to religion in general nowadays. At this point, the one overwhelming thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees shared was fear. The Romans had occupied their country. Delicate balances had been negotiated. It was not perfect, but the religious leaders had kept their authority in the land. The ordinary people of Israel had understood their place in all this, but frankly, they weren't over the moon about that. The increasing dread of the Sadducees and the Pharisees was that Jesus was going to upset all that fragile peace. The problem Jesus had was this. Was there anyone who understood him? Was there anyone who recognized him for who he was and what he was? Was there anyone who, after the cross, would carry on his work, would continue his mission to the world? This was a crucial problem. What if none of the disciples had understood the truth, not even had the slightest glimpse of it? All his work would have been for nothing. On the other hand, if someone had grasped his message, then his work was safe. His church had a future. So Jesus was determined to test his disciples, to find out where they were on their journey with him. Jesus had taken his disciples well up to the north, to Caesarea Philippi. Here was a place beneath the shadow of the ancient gods. The area was scattered with Syrian temples. There was a deep cavern on the outskirts of the city. Historically, it was claimed to be the birthplace of Pan, the Greek god of nature. That very same cave was also something recognized as the source of the River Jordan, something which had long occupied a central position in the Jewish story. Now, if all that wasn't enough, in Caesarea Philippi itself, there was a magnificent temple made of gleaming white marble. It had been placed there specifically to honor Tiberius Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor. So here we have a vivid picture, an exciting picture, a homeless, penniless Galilean carpenter with 12 pretty ordinary guys around him, and the great and the good of the day are plotting to eliminate him as a dangerous heretic. Here he is standing in a place worshipped by Syrians, Greeks, Jews, and Romans. And it is there that Jesus asks of his followers, "Who am I?" Against a background of some of the world's major religions, some of its most influential and powerful empires, Jesus is asking the question, "Who am I?" And he is expecting the answer, "The Son of God." However, he begins not by asking the disciples directly. He starts by asking them what they've been hearing from the crowds. Various disciples must have chipped in. Some people were claiming that he was John the Baptist. Now, John had been beheaded, which in normal circumstances might be counted as a wee bit of a drawback. But many ordinary Palestinians believed that John was so powerful that he had already come back from the dead. Some said that he was Elijah. Elijah was the prince of the prophetic line, the greatest of all the prophets. By calling Jesus Elijah, they believed him to be the forerunner of the Messiah. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it is written, "But before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes, I will send you the prophet Elijah." And to this day, when they celebrate Passover, many Jews leave a vacant chair for Elijah. For when Elijah comes, the Messiah will not be far behind. Some said that Jesus was Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah has a curious place in the expectations of the people of Israel. In about 587 BC, the Babylonians had sacked Jerusalem. But it was widely believed that Jeremiah had got into the great temple and he had rescued the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of incense. He'd then taken them away and hidden them in a lonely mountain cave. Before the coming of the Messiah, Jeremiah would return and retrieve them. It was then that the glory of God would return to the people. There was also an old legend, a legend which held that in the time of Israel's greatest need, it would be Jeremiah who would come to their rescue. And many were convinced that that time had come. The true voice of the prophet had been silent in the land for 400 years. And yet here is the crowd saying that in Jesus, they could hear again the direct and authentic voice of God. For the people to identify Jesus with Elijah and with Jeremiah, they were paying him the highest compliment. They were setting him up in a very important place. For them, Jesus was about to introduce the Messiah, and the kingdom of God was very near indeed. Jesus quietly listened to the disciples' views of what the crowds had been saying. He then asks the big question, the question towards which he had been heading. What about you? Who do you say I am? It's not difficult to imagine the reaction. There would have been a moment or two of unsettled quietness, some breath being drawn in, eyes searching the skies or the ground. The disciples, each hoping that someone else would break the silence. Until that is, Simon Peter, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus now knew. At least one of the disciples had begun to grasp what he was trying to do. Peter had recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the special Hebrew and Greek words for the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Peter had realized that the normal, the traditional human categories were not enough to describe Jesus. There were no descriptions or classifications that were up to describing Jesus properly. Peter was a simple fisherman. He would be able to remember most, if not all, of the laws, the rituals, and the stories taught to him by the teacher in his local synagogue. And Peter might not have been able to understand the theology and the philosophy underlying what was in his heart. He just knew that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Jesus was well pleased by the answer. "Blessed are you, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, you are a rock. And on this rock foundation, I will build my church, Now, in my very first paragraph, I mentioned that in the church, divisions are often the greatest between those who have the most in common. And it is this part of the passage that has caused, let's say, a little bother with contrasting interpretations, interpretations which have scarred and divided the church to the present day. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church. Peter himself, indeed, is the rock, and in a very special way. He is not the rock on which the church is founded. That rock is God. Peter is the foundation stone of the whole church. Peter was the first person to make the leap of faith that saw in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, Peter was the first member of the church, and upon him the church was built. Every single person who makes the same discovery as Peter is another stone added to the building of the church of Christ. What about you? Who do you say I am? This question is still being asked down through the centuries and across the continents, asked of us today. This passage tells us that our discovery of Christ must be a personal one. In John's Gospel, after the Sanhedrin had handed Jesus over to Pilate, Pilate asked him if he was the king of the Jews. Jesus replied, "Does this question come from you, or have others told you about me?" A knowledge of Jesus can never be second hand. It is quite possible to have read many books about Jesus, to have studied every summary of his teaching, to speak learnedly about the life of Jesus, and still not be a Christian. Being a follower of Jesus does not mean that we have to know everything there is to know about him. It means simply that we know Jesus. He demands of us a personal answer. Jesus did not ask this of Peter alone. It is a question which has spanned the barriers of time and crossed the barriers of distance. He asks every single one of us here and now. It is a question which requires an answer, a reaction, and a commitment. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Amen. And we have now a prayer of dedication. Let us pray. Loving God, whatever we have from you. You sent Jesus that we might see your love and hear your message, a message that we might create on earth a place where you are honored and all will live knowing your presence. We thank you for your gift in Jesus. Grant that we acknowledge your generosity. Bless all that we offer to you, our money, our time, our talents, so that your kingdom may be advanced in our time to your satisfaction, to your glory, and in the name of your Son, in whom and with whom we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 577, Christ Be Beside Me.
Christ, be with me. Christ,
come now to prayers for others and for ourselves. And as usual, I do have a response in it. When, if you're comfortable, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father, we pray for those whose lives are in turmoil, for those who are only too painfully aware that all is not right in your hearts, for those who are conscious of the wrong thoughts that destroy their peace and the weakness that leads them to give way to temptation, for those whose words and deeds have wrecked the lives of others, for those who are genuinely filled with remorse for what they've said and done. May the mercy of Christ call them to himself. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who feel secure in their earthly riches, for those who feel no need of God to enrich their lives, for those who are smug, self-satisfied, and self-sufficient, for those whose arrogance makes them indifferent to those less fortunate than themselves, for those who think that because they have everything that money can buy, they will have the peace and the joy they deserve, for those who are discovering that people who are rich in the things of this life can be paupers in the kingdom of God, may the patience of Christ seek those who are lost but do not know it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ all around the world and for this church here, for those who want to receive all the good things that they have been promised, for those who are not yet willing to pay the price of commitment, for those who, like Peter, know what is expected of those who follow the Master, for those who would rather deny him than lose face with their friends and colleagues. May Christ's love commission them again in his service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who feel that their time of service is over, for those who close their ears to the call of Christ, for those who are full of the excuses of age or inexperience or unworthiness, for those who fill up their time with many activities and leave as little as possible for Christ to use. May Christ's love unlock the path of obedience and faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are hurting, for those who have made a mess of their lives, for those who feel lost, afraid, and weighed down by the responsibility for others, for those who never make time for themselves, for those who are lonely, broken, and empty, and for those who know their need of God's loving forgiveness. May Christ's love heal them and hold them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and the commission we have received to go and tell everyone, everywhere, of the love of God. We ask for a new awareness of God-given opportunities to love and to speak for Christ, for a new infilling of the Spirit's power and presence and love. May Christ's love send us out to live as your Son taught. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is hymn 739, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
Our service here is ended, and we journey on out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and always.